Good morning. How are you? It is good to be here. Why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. Dear God, we come to you this morning. We thank you because you are good, and because you love us. Thank you for your word and for your promise that you speak to us when we read, and we would listen to you. So God, this morning as we read, I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would draw us to you. I pray that you would help me to explain well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through a short series of teachings that Jesus gave in the book of Matthew called the Beatitudes. And they answer the question for us, how can I move forward, progress, not be plateaued out in my relationship with God? How can I feel more of his presence and be closer to him and be more like him? How can I know that I'm moving forward in my relationship with God? And what Jesus gives us is a series of teachings, a series of, well, they look like kind of unrelated proverbs, but they're not. They're a sequence of how God's work occurs in our hearts and what happens to us as he works his work in us, and how we can follow him and follow him as he works in us and continue to draw closer to him. And so as he goes through this sequence, he starts each one out by saying, happy or blessed or fortunate is the person who, and then he says, gives a saying, and as we've seen, they're kind of an unexpected contrast. Each one, he says, happy is the person, or blessed is the person who, and then he says something, and you say, well, I don't know if that would be a blessed person. Today is probably the closest we've gotten so far to someone who you would say, yeah, that does sound like a blessed person, just right off the bat. It doesn't sound like an unexpected contrast. But as we look through this series of sayings, of teachings, they help us know what's my next step? How do I become more like Jesus? How do I get closer to God? How do I progress in my relationship with the Lord? And what we've seen so far is, happy are those who look inside and know see their wickedness, that know that they're poor in spirit, that they have nothing to give to God, and it wasn't just that I was bad before, but there's evil inside of me even now. And blessed are those who weep, who mourn for their wickedness as they see their wickedness, and as I see my sin, that I weep and mourn for that. And then as I see that, happy am I when I step off the throne of my life once again and say, I'm not going to be my own boss, and I'm going to let God take over that area of my life. And then as I turn from my sin and turn to God, happy are those who desire God, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who want to be like and with God. And we saw last week, happy are those who treat others better than they deserve to be treated. Happy are the merciful. Happy are those who then take the grace that they've received from God and give it to other people. Today we're going to look at the sixth one, if you're counting along. I counted that twice, so I'm pretty sure that's right. We're going to look at the sixth one, and this one just raises up the biggest problem that we have, and it gives us a solution as well, but we'll look at the problem first, and then we'll get to the solution. Just a little programming note. After this week, we're going to take a one-week break, and then we'll return and look at the last two of these teachings. Next week, we're going to talk, I don't want to give it away, but you could probably guess what we're going to talk about, but just come next week and see if you're right. It won't be bunnies. That's okay. Matthew 5, verse 8. We're going to be looking at several verses. I've copied them into my notes, so I won't be flipping in my actual physical Bible teach one. It'll look like I'm reading. I will be reading. You can read in your Bible, and then you can take notes and look at the context later on today. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as soon as we read those words, we immediately start getting a sense of, oh, that's a problem. That's a problem for me. Blessed are the pure in heart, because I hear the words pure in heart and I immediately start realizing, I'm not in that category in myself, in who I am as a person. I'm not in that category. I think about things that I've done before and in the far past, the distant past. I think about things that I would be ashamed if they were, you know, broadcast on a screen. I think about things that I've said and felt even yesterday, and I go, oh, that's a problem for me. If the pure in heart will see God, that's not me. I think about my inner desires and my inner thoughts and my inner feelings, things that I don't even show other people. That's a problem, the pure in heart. Maybe you're pure in heart. I know that I'm not in who I am. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. And he doesn't give us any wiggle room. He's saying, you have to be perfect. Blessed are the pure in heart, those who are completely clean, those who are perfect. There's no wiggle room there. And he's saying that zero sin. Why? Because sin is imperfection, is impurity. Any time that I disobey God, I'm rebelling against my Creator. That's impurity. That's imperfection in my heart. That's me being my own boss, and it's not reflecting the image of the one in whose image I was made to reflect his image for his glory, but rather I'm reflecting my image. I'm reflecting who I am. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. He's demanding perfection. That's never having disobeyed God, not once, not a single word, not a single action, not a single emotion, not a single thought. That's never having disobeyed God. And it's not just what we don't do, it's what we should do. It's always having done the good things that God would have had you do. It's always serving and helping and giving and loving and forgiving. It's not just not doing bad things, it is doing good things. It's both of those. Not just sometimes, most of the time, more than you did last year, but it's all the time. It's perfection. Pure in heart is not having a single spot or blemish on your record, not in the past or not in the future. It's being completely perfect, and it's pure in heart. Don't miss that part. What heart is internal. Jesus isn't saying, blessed are those who know how to behave or who know how to get dressed up on Sunday and look like they behave the rest of the week. Blessed are those who... No, he's saying, blessed are the pure in heart. That's on the inside. That's at a level not just of our actions. Doesn't exclude the actions, but it's not just the actions. It's not just what we do on the outside. It's our desires and our emotions and our thoughts. You know, when we look at what Jesus is saying, you say, oh, we have a problem. We have two problems, actually. One is we're not pure in heart. We've rebelled against God. We rebel against God. We will rebel against God. We can't become pure in heart on our own. I can't undo the bad stuff that I've done and thought and said. And I look back on even my so far pretty short life. I keep telling myself it's been pretty short so far. It gets harder to believe every year, but still doing it. And there are things that, I wish that I could take back. Things that I've said, things that I've thought. A mean prank that I played with some other people. It wasn't just me, but I thought of it, and I kind of did it. Mean prank I played on a friend, and, well, I wasn't a friend to him. He wasn't a friend. In the youth group, of all places, on a trip, and I wish I could take it. No one was permanently damaged, you know, externally, but I wish I could take it back. I just sad. I wish, and so many things I wish I can't. We can't undo the bad stuff we've done. You can't undo it. Once those words are out, you know, if you've ever, you know, been in a conversation with your spouse, and you know, as soon as the words leave your mouth, they can't be unheard. They can't go back in. Once we say it or do it or think it, it's done. We can't take the impurity out. And we can't do the good things most of the time. We can't go back and do the good things that we should have done in the past. I can do some good things that I should do in the future, but that doesn't do the good things I should have done in the past. It just does the good things I do in the future. We can't become pure on our own. We're not pure at heart. And the second problem, a lot of times we don't want to be pure in heart. I want you to think that I'm pure in heart. I want you to think that I'm a good person. I want you to think that I'm a trustworthy character. I want you to think that I'm a good guy. But what do I really want? I want to be happy, whatever form that takes for me. I want me to be happy. And in my flesh, there's a lot of times there's vengeful thoughts, there's angry thoughts, there's vindictive things that I think. There's evil desires. Many times I don't want to be pure in heart. Many times what I truly want is to do and say and think and feel things that are not pure in heart, but to get away with it. That's a problem, because the pure in heart will see God. And we've been flipping these around and looking at the negative, because the negative is also true. If the pure in heart will see God, those who are not pure in heart will, right? That's even for early on a Sunday morning, that's not too big of a logical leap for us to make. That's a pretty easy one. So that's a problem for us. Look at Romans 3, verse 10. I'm going to read just 10 verses, and it's a big old summary of everything that I've just said, and it is a litany of charges against all of us. Look at the all-inclusive words in this. As it is written, none is righteous. That's just or pure or perfect. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, before you stop and say, well, that doesn't really describe me. It describes some people I know. Doesn't describe me. Go back to the beginning and look at the all-inclusive language. It's like a trip to Jamaica, one of those big resorts, all-inclusive language that he's using. Everybody. So just because you don't see how this applies to you, oh, it's there. It's there. We all are not pure in heart. None of us is pure in heart. And even if you are now in your mind going down a list of all the good things that you do and all the bad things that you don't do, just listen to the next phrase for a moment, because he's going to say, even our obedience doesn't make us pure. Now we know, verse 19, that whatever the law says, that's God's law, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, just summarize that, obedience, no human being will be justified in his sight, God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. We maybe obey some of us better than others, and we would all like to think we're on the some of us side of that equation. But listen, the law of God only shows us where we fail. We can never be obedient enough to be pure in heart. And this is a problem for us, because it is eternally fatal. It's not one of those little problems that I'll deal with that later. I have some house problems around the house, some little things that I know I'm going to have to repair sooner or later. They're going to break, or it can be close to breaking, and I know they're kind of on the list, and sooner or later I'm going to have to get into those and fix those problems. This isn't one of those problems. This is one of those things we're going to have to deal with sometime. This is an eternally fatal problem. I'm not pure in heart. The pure in heart will see God. I'm not pure in heart. I won't be able to see God. I can't have any blemish or blot on myself. I can't have any rebellion before me and be in God's presence, because he is perfect, he is holy, and he will not abide the presence of rebellion against himself, because he is the sovereign king of the universe. and our rebellion reflects badly on Him and takes glory away from Him, and He will not tolerate that. So our impurity of heart separates us from God. Seeing God, the pure in heart will see God. Well, that's the alternative to what? To being under His wrath and His judgment, not just in this life, but for all of eternity. My impureness of heart is an eternal problem, a fatal problem for me and for you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What is the solution to this problem? The same person who said these words and gave us this problem, and the same person who took us to the point of desperation as we look at our impureness of heart, is the same person who resolves this problem. In Jesus, we find the solution for our lack of purity of heart, for our sin and our rebellion against God. In Jesus, He gives us the how desperate our situation is, and then He gives us the hope, and He gives us this impossible condition, and then He becomes the solution that satisfies this impossible condition for being able to see God and be accepted by God. How can we be pure? We aren't pure. We don't want to be pure, but God gives us His purity. How can you and I be pure in heart? Ultimately, it's not by trying harder and being better and getting up tomorrow and just, I'm going to be more pure today, because that doesn't wipe out my impurity yesterday. How do I be pure in heart? God has to give me His purity. He has to make me pure in heart. He has to give me His righteousness, His justice, His perfection. He wipes away my sin, and He gives me His perfection. This happens in Christ. In Christ, God gives us His perfection. He gives us life. He gives us forgiveness. It happens through the Holy Spirit, who, once we are in Christ, through the Spirit, God continues to purify us and show us our sins and give us the strength to put to death our flesh. That's called progressive sanctification. It's becoming more and more pure in heart. In actuality, and in God's eyes, in Christ, we are His perfection. We are the purity of Christ in God. Look at Romans 3, verse 21, the second half of what we just read. But now the righteousness of God, you could say the perfection or the purity of God, has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God, the perfection of God, the purity of God, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as the propitiation by His blood. He absorbed the wrath of God on the cross to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, God's justice, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In other words, God put our imperfection, our rebellion on Jesus. Jesus, who lived a perfect life, and He took our imperfection and our rebellion, and He put it on Jesus. And then Jesus was brutally slaughtered on the cross as a blood offering in our place. And with His blood, He paid the eternal price for our rebellion against God. And in Jesus, we receive forgiveness, and we receive His perfection laying on top of our imperfection. So we could read Matthew 5:8, blessed are those who are pure in heart, because they will see God. And we could say, happy are those who are pure in Christ. Happy are those who are pure in heart through Christ. Happy are those who are perfect through Christ. Christ gives us the perfection and the purity of heart that we have to have in order to be able to see God. So if you're saying, okay, well, what's our part in this? You can't read the Bible without an application, right? You can't read the Bible and get to the end and say, that was beautiful. Now I'm going on with my day. You have to say, what should I do? We read this and we say, okay, I understand what it's saying, but what do I do? Well, if happy are those, blessed are those who are pure in heart, and if we can only be pure in heart in Christ, what do we have to do? We have to seek that. We have to seek that purity in heart. Jesus wasn't just saying this to give them information. He was saying this because we have to seek the purity of heart that comes through Christ. We have to seek, we have to run after, we have to go after having a pure heart before God. Now, that's something that only God can give us, but we have to seek after it. We have to go after it. We have to try to grab a hold of that for which Christ grabbed a hold of us. He grabbed a hold of us, and he's coming after us so that we will be pure before him. And we're told to go and grab onto that, to go after that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What's our part in that? We have to give ourselves to him. We have to surrender ourselves to him. If purity of heart is only found in Christ, now listen, that means that no matter how much you try to make yourself a better person, you will never be good enough. The only way that you can grab a hold of being pure in heart is by surrendering yourself to Jesus, putting your faith in him, making the decision to follow him, that he will be your Savior and your Lord. And you do that by repenting and by being baptized, by making a decision in your mind and your heart that he will be your Lord, and letting yourself be immersed in water, be repenting and being baptized, making the decision to follow Jesus. That's how you take hold of the purity of heart that Jesus offers. That's how you run after it. And then after you make that decision, you follow the Spirit and you put to death your flesh. Because even once you come out of the water, you've repented and been baptized, you're perfect in God's sight, you have purity of heart, you know as well as I do that your flesh hasn't gotten that message. You still want and desire and feel things that are not in line with God's purity. And so every day is a battle to make that same decision again and say, Jesus is still my Lord today in this moment, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm desiring, no matter where I'm going, Jesus is my Lord. He will tell me, I will submit to him, I will listen to the Spirit, and I will fight against my flesh. I will try to see what my battle with sin is today. What is it? What is it for me today? Is it wanting things that I don't need? Is it sexual sin? Is it bitterness? Is it lying? Is it gossip? Is it wrath and insulting and anger? Is it depression or being negative? Is it complaining? What is my sin in this moment today? And then as I see that, deciding that I'm going to leave that sin. This isn't something you do one time, then I'm done, and now I'm done fighting against sin. This is something you do every day. What is the sin that I'm struggling with today? I decide I'm going to leave that, and I'm going to beg God as I go through my day, give me the strength to walk away from that sin. Give me the strength to bite my tongue and close my eyes and not do and say and think and feel whatever that sin is. And then every time that temptation pops up throughout the day, fighting against it and say, no, no, that's not who I am going to be. The pure in heart will see God. I am not going to contaminate my heart with that sin. And then look at the promise. It's half of what Jesus said. Because they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. See, that's the incredible part of this. In the Old Testament, from the very beginning, you couldn't look at God. You couldn't see God. Why? Because as people who have rebelled against our Creator, we would be incinerated by His presence. We could not see His glory and live. What does God say to Moses? Look at Exodus 33:20. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. We can't see God. And then Jesus comes and says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. That is just an incredible thing. And I'd been thinking about the whole pure in heart thing. And so I'm going to give you a message. This isn't from me. I was thinking about the whole pure in heart thing, and I read this verse. I read it this week with Lem Ford, and I read it, and he said, emphasize they will see God. And if you know Lem, you can hear how he said that. He said, emphasize they will see God. And it hit me. That's the most incredible thing in this verse. We will see God. If we're pure in heart, we will see God and we will be seen by God. We will be able to stand in His presence and He will allow us to stand in His presence. That is incredible. That is unspeakable. I can't get my mind around that. We won't be able to get our minds around that when we're there. That is the most incredible promise. It only if we are perfect can we grab a hold of that promise. And only in Christ can we be perfect. Only in Christ can we be made perfect. And in Christ we are made perfect. And if you are in Christ, you can say, I will see God. That's incredible. So, what should we do with this? In every week we celebrate communion. We break the bread and drink the cup. What are we doing when we do that? Why do we do that every week? Because we are celebrating. We're remembering that in Christ, through His death and resurrection, we can be made the perfection, the justice, the righteousness of God. We can be made pure in heart because He paid the price for us and He gave us His righteousness. And we remember that and we thank Him. And then as part of that, we respond to Him. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Why don't we close by letting Christ's words motivate us to run after being pure in heart. And for you, if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, if you've thought about it, and if you, maybe like many, you say to yourself, I just have to stop doing that, and I have to get a little bit better. I have to get some things cleaned up in my life. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I got to get some things cleaned up in my life, and then I'll be ready to follow Jesus. Listen, you will only be made pure in heart by putting your faith in Jesus, by deciding to follow Him, by repenting and being baptized, by being in Christ. And once you are in Christ, He will fill you with His Spirit, and His Spirit will walk with you as you become more and more acceptable to God in your actual daily life. If you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, listen to Jesus' words, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When you make the decision to follow Jesus, to repent, to be baptized, you will be able to hold on to that promise and say, that's me. That's me. I'm not pure in heart, but in Christ I am pure in heart, and I will see God. And if you've already made the decision to follow Jesus, listen, you and I have to think, okay, what is the impurity that I'm living with in my life today? That way of thinking, the way of speaking, that thing that I, whatever it is, what is the impurity that you have in your life today, and how can you leave it? What would it mean for you to walk away from that? And listen to Jesus' words and let that motivate you to run after being pure in heart, to run away from your sin and to the Savior. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What do you need to do today to respond to this word from Jesus? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to you right now and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. God, we would ask you to draw us to you and help us to be people who run after your perfection. Help us to put all our hope and trust in Jesus to be made pure in your sight. And may your Spirit work in us and draw us to put to death our flesh and to leave impurity behind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.